I want to talk to you today about what grace means to the believer. And it might be a little different. A lot of it would be familiar verses with you. It'd be simple, but I ain't nothing but simple. I don't know how else to go about it. In Ephesians, and, you know, a lot of people talk about grace, but they don't really understand the meaning of grace in Paul's writings. And it has a twofold thoughtology, if that's a word that I can make up. But if you have the word grace here, and I've heard people say, well, that's unmerited favor. Well, you can't pull that verse out of the Bible because that definition is a definition. We know that in the word of grace, we have it's no more of works. We'll go to those verses in just a second. We also know that it has to do with somebody that's no covenant at all. Not necessarily the Mosaic Law, but a covenant. There's no covenant. I mean, it's just by pure grace. And we know that by the Ephesians and Colossian letters. Those are pure revelation. In other words, they have nothing to do with the Old Testament. When you go to the Old Testament and under the law of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, whatever, it was of works. And that's of the works of the law. But under the Ephesian and Colossian letters, the covenant they were strangers from, and I might put covenants, they were strangers from the covenants of the Old Testament. They had no hope, they had no God, and it's just pure by grace. But the word is the same in the sense of it applies that it has to do, it comes from God. Grace, okay? Now, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, Paul said to these Ephesians, he said, for by grace are you saved. So, you can't claim salvation by works. You cannot claim salvation of something you did. You can't claim salvation if you walk the aisle or ask Jesus in your heart. It says, for by grace. You say, well, some smart aleck will say, all right, it's by the grace of God I can walk up the aisle. Right? He would say, it was by grace that I had opportunity to confess my sins. But see, most people aren't that smart in the Bible, so they can't come up with that terminology. But if you get somebody to study, he can say things like that because that's what he's trying to argue about. You know, for by grace you say, they forget the end of the verse. For by grace you say, through faith, and that not of yourselves. So yourselves is being left out in this. Salvation by grace, through faith, is not of yourself. You didn't do it. You didn't have anything that you did to cause God to favor you in grace. This is God's grace. Okay? Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, we as humans boast. We always boast. We are boasters. We're braggarts. We're conceited. And on. But he told the Ephesians, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if you step down to verse 11, you understand why he says it. He said, wherefore remember. He said, look at your past, look at your history, and your uncircumcised Gentiles, which circumcised people would say, you don't have our God, you don't have any right to call on our God, and you have no right at all to talk about salvation. Okay? Verse 11, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. So, who's the book written to? Gentiles. He said, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of flesh made by hands. Alright, so there was a time in the Bible when circumcision would point out uncircumcision. Point it out. Say, no sir, you're not part of us. You don't have any right to our God. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and on and on and on. Now, it don't take a Rhodes Scholar to figure that out. They get down and read their Bible, but they try not to emphasize that because it'll tear up your playhouse when you base your playhouse on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is based on covenants. All right? He said, verse 11, circumcision in the flesh made by hands. All right, now, Paul's emphasis of the Colossian letter is a circumcision that's not made with hands. Okay? This is a circumcision in the flesh made by what? Hands. That's a covenant. A covenant. What would a Jew, male child, 8 days old, what must his parents do? If he doesn't, what happens? He cut off from his people. Where would a Gentile be in this? He ain't even in the people. Because his uncircumcision is represented that he's not part of the covenant. All right, what if a Gentile gets circumcised? And I'm not talking about in the hospital, his parents does it for cleanliness. I'm talking about in covenant relationship with Israel. If he gets circumcised, what does he become? He becomes a proselyte and he's called a Jew. He's basically called a Jew by religious order. Right? These people here have none of that. So he's telling them in verse 9, read it with me, not of works lest any man should boast. All right? Will a man boast of his works? Okay? Verse 11, wherefore remember, you ain't got nothing to boast about. That's what he's emphasizing to the Ephesians. You ain't got anything to boast about. You're uncircumcised in the flesh. You cannot say, I'm part of Israel. I have no part or lot of any of the promises or any of the covenants of God Almighty. Now, verse 12, that at that time and time past, you were without who? You're without Christ. Folks, understand something. By the grace of God, you're in here, no Christ. There's no reason for God to let us know of Christ. Do you think walking the aisle is going to make you know Christ? You think asking Jesus in your heart when you're not even entitled to Jesus without this letter? Now watch. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And I ain't got no problem as I look out here about aliens. I see aliens. Being aliens, but that's not what he's talking about. Being aliens from what? The commonwealth of Israel. Commonwealth means that you're supportive of Israel. Folks, I don't care what happens to Israel. They're not my people. Now, when I say I don't care, I don't want them bombed. I don't want them destroyed. I'm not saying that. But I'm not sending my money to Israel so I get the favor of God. Commonwealth of Israel. You're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from what? And that's covenant. That's plural. There's more than one. Having what? And without God in this world. That don't leave a lot of happiness there. Right? Now think about this in this verse. Having no hope. Turn to the Colossian letter with me. I think of the day that God saved Paul, who is our apostle. God was going to speak to us through our apostle. He wouldn't speak to us through Jesus. Jesus didn't talk to the Gentiles. He called them dogs. Matthew 15. Well, those were considered in the eyes of God in the time of Matthew in the first century as dogs. Literal dogs. All right? In Colossians chapter 1. So, literally being considered a dog and in uncircumcision of the flesh, without Christ, without God, without hope, here comes a beautiful message. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Alienated. Where did you see the word alien? What were you alien from? Commonwealth of Israel. So this alienated, they knew that God shouldn't help them. Are you with me? You know, I talk to people and I listen to them and I realize how ignorant they are to the Bible. I heard one yesterday. I told Catherine I was being charitable. I should have jumped right in. No, I wouldn't. I just listen to that and I go. And the person told me, well, Dave, I'm going to come to church. I said, well, think of it as a Bible study. She said, don't matter as long as you leave feeling good. I said, well, what if the word don't make you feel good at that time? What if it's cutting? Folks, I don't really feel good when I cut myself. It's when it heals I get feeling better. Well, sometimes you leave and you're not feeling real good because the Lord convicts you. And that conviction is, I'm wrong and you're right, God. But when you are willing to admit that, then some eyes, some knowledge and understanding comes. All right, think about these Colossians. He never went to Colossae. If you want to know, that is in Colossians 2, verse 1. Have not seen my face. Now back in 21 again, that you were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. The yet now says that they've been reconciled. Now I can see them the first time they hear that, they go, but how did I get reconciled? What did I do to make God accept me? Now, if I tell Ricky, I say, Ricky, the only way that you'll ever please God is you need to walk the aisle, lay your sins on the altar, turn from your sins, and confess your sins, and give your life to Christ. If that's all that Ricky knows, if that's all he's ever heard, what will he do? If he's wanting it. And he'll go away from there, and somebody says, are you saved? Oh, yeah, oh, okay, I have Jesus in my heart, and I return from my sin. Okay? A week later, I said, Ricky, have you sinned? Yeah. What do I do about it? I said, well, confess your sins. That's the out, ain't it? And if it gets worse and worse, I say, you're going to have to rededicate. Right? Rededicate what? To your badness? Here these people are going, now you're telling me. So they say, the first question is, what does it mean to reconcile? All right? If you are over here, and your friend is here, and you get an argument. And it gets so severe that you can't stay together. Somebody needs to reconcile you, bring you back together again, right? Now, what has separated us from God? Birth. Right? How many have sinned? All have sinned. But wait a minute. That's all. But now God is, He's initiated a program over here in the Old Testament that those that sin can be part of Israel and be in the covenant. Now what if He goes and reaches out and gets some people that aren't even in the covenant? Wouldn't that be grace? And what he does, he takes his beloved, beautiful son, who never sinned, who never did anything wrong, loved the Lord thy God with all his heart, mind, and soul, kept the law perfectly. He took that son and put him on one of the most miserable death instruments in the world by the hands of Gentiles and Jews. And let him die. And he said, I'm going to reconcile that aisle walking Ricky without his aisle walking. Let's read what the verse says. Verse 21, you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Okay, Lord, Lord, how am I reconciled? Verse 22. Read it out loud. Let's have church group reading. What does it say in 22? In the body of His flesh through death to present you how? Boy, you guys are not in harmony, but you're reading at least. Now, I want to ask you. What kind of location are you in this? Are you walking out? Are you being a good person? Are you not sinning? Are you repentant of your sins? Or have you just been made knowledgeable of the fact when Jesus Christ died, God took the body of His death and reconciled you? Now you know the importance of the cross. He died for our sins, according to Scripture. If He died for our sins, if we accept that, what will we never do? He'll never die for your sins. He'll never die for your sins. Somebody said, well, you give me a license to sin. I ain't neither. You already bought that license. You're good at it. No license to sin in this, folks. It is a reason to trust Christ. Because the wages of sin is death. Now let's read on. Verse 22, in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith. Well, I want to say to somebody, well, then you got to work. See, 1 Corinthians 15. Turn with me. I do not know how to trust God any more than with my mind. My flesh does not oblige me. My mind can believe, my mind can worship, my mind can think, my mind can read, my mind can be taught. My flesh is vile and is sinful. Say, I bring it under control. Is that why you confess? If I had it under control, I wouldn't need to confess, would I? Is that why I need to rededicate? Is that why I have to say to the Lord, I'm sorry? Folks, I don't see anything wrong with telling you, Lord, you're sorry, but I ain't confessing my sins, because they were took care of. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved. Next word. If, you said two words, I said one. If you keep in memory. Where's your memory? What is your memory? It's your mind. Okay? Could it be that somebody hears the gospel and then forgets it? Yes, they do. You know why? Because they didn't trust it. They talk about it, didn't trust it. Well, more, you preach on lost believers all the time. I preached on lost believers one time at camp because I was a lost believer. Man told me later, he got up in the pulpit and said, nah, Brother Jerry's wrong, there ain't no such as lost believer. So another preacher I know took him aside to show him, Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. And he said, I didn't know that verse was in there. Yeah, it's in there. Most lost believers, a man that can hear it, yes, but not necessarily trust it. Why? To trust something with all your heart is to never try to fix it. It don't need fixed, folks. If it needs fixed, why did Christ die in the first place? Okay? Now, with all that, turn to Romans 3. Christ died for our sins. Verse 3 and 4, by the way, is the gospel of Christ. And it happens to be in black and white. It's not something that preachers made up. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. That's the gospel of Christ, and it's the power of God unto salvation. We'll turn with me to Romans 3 and watch. All right? Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. This is a very outgoing statement that Paul makes. It made the Jews hate him, made some of the Gentiles love him, other Gentiles hated him. Why? You know, some of the people never talk about the fact that if you were a Gentile and you had committed yourselves unto circumcision, like the Romans had gotten circumcised and they became part of the olive tree in grafting or whatever, and for a man to tell them, I'm sorry, you're a little late, they have fallen. It'd be like feeling going out in his field and cutting a tree down, and then later going off over here, and he finds a tree he likes, and he cuts a limb off, and goes over to the one he's cut down and tries to engraft it in. It ain't going to grow. The thing is fallen, it's gone, it's dead. What if you come to a point in Bible history when Israel has fallen, and you can't bless them any longer? Then you're left in a situation you're going to have to trust the grace of God. You can't engraft into something that's fallen down. Did Israel fall? How did you get salvation according to the Bible? Through their fall, salvation come unto the Gentiles. How did they fall? What made them fall? What did they deny? They killed Messiah. Through their fall. Well, you know what God ought to have done with them? Terry, what would you want to do with somebody that killed Kobe? You mean you wouldn't have grace on him? Ain't you got glad God ain't like that? Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? What would the Jews say? What would a circumcised Gentile say? Yes, he's the God of the Jews only. Unless you come into the covenant, unless you bless them and help them. Wait a minute. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Get that rock! Hit that guy! I guarantee they had a bag of rocks on that one, didn't he? Stone that guy! He's saying the Gentiles have our God too. He said yes of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, not Buddha, not the cow Hindu, not the Confucianism, not the Muslims, not any of those. There's one God. I'm pretty sure His name is God. Pretty sure it's Almighty, Jehovah, so forth and so on. Say, well, what is it in Hebrew tongue? You have to look it up. I'm not a Hebrew. I'm not a Greek expert, or Latin, or Hebrew, or any of that. I'm in English, and I'm not real good at that. Come from Arkansas. Okay? Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision, how? And the uncircumcision, how? Is there any difference by and through? So the Hebrews 11, see, not right now, you do it later. Study the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you're going to see by and through, by and through, by and through, by and through. That's the difference in it, okay? By faith, how does the circumcision get justified? By faith. How does the uncircumcision get justified? Through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Now, here's the key. Was the law good? Okay? Now, if the law was good, if we believe over here by grace, do we make it void? We've got to have somewhere in the Bible where God takes care of the law without us making it void. You have it? Now watch. Do we make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we what? Establish the law. Okay? Now, if we establish it, turn to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. To establish something is to, if it's like, when you get your receipt at the bank, when you make a deposit, are they not establishing for you in black and white that you made that money go into their bank where you didn't even see it? It's on a check. I mean, you go all the time, you ain't got no money, it's all paperwork, but by that receipt, it is an established fact that you put that money in the bank, so if there's some kind of discrepancy, you take your receipt down there and say, hey, Bolo, you owe me. It's established, right? All right, in Matthew chapter 5, look with me in verse 17. Jesus said, anybody got a red letter edition? Is this red letters? Okay. Think not that I am come to destroy what? If he destroyed the law, he wouldn't have done what he said. I gotta think. Matthew chapter, give a good verse on it. Matthew 15. Don't go there. I want you can study it. Matthew 15. What was the problem with the Pharisees, with Jesus? What did Jesus always walk by? It is written, and he fulfilled the law. We'll see that in just a minute. In other words, did he ever sin? And I'll give you the verses to confide to this, or coincide. Okay, we got a man here that always walked according to the law. Donnie used to be a policeman in Atlanta. If you didn't walk according to the law, Donnie's coming. There's a few broke the law over there, wasn't he? Just a few. So what he's doing, he's establishing that the law is there as a policeman. Okay? By the way, what keeps people from breaking in your house? They're still afraid of the police in some form or fashion, you know, and gun, obviously. But there is some fear still, even though there's a lot of crookedness going on, they still appear when they see that cop car. They're going to run, ain't they? And all that's between you and them is a pane of glass. So there is some establishment of law and order still that keeps people from just going in anarchy. You know what I'm saying? Smith & Wesson or Mossberg 500 helps on the other side. But they like to take that away. Well, then you present you're presenting an anarchy situation if you take public guns away. Because police can't be everywhere. And as long as a crook knows you might have a gun, he's a little bit leery. But if he knew you didn't have one at all, and he had one, that'd be anarchy, folks. It just, there wouldn't be any control. They'd do whatever they want. You know what I'm saying? Well, Jesus Christ, he established the fact that the law was right and good because he lived it. Are you with me? It could be lived by him and was. Well, what does that leave you since you broke it? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That standard set by Jesus Christ will not be ever accomplished by mankind. We are short of the glory of God. The glory of God is His Son lived it. And we didn't. Right? So in Matthew chapter 5, and what I was telling you in Matthew 15, Jesus said, and they came up to Him and they said, your disciples don't wash their hands. I don't know if anybody washed their hands yesterday or not after that mess. Smells like crawfish. And they're worried, they got the Messiah, the King of heaven and earth, the Creator of heaven and earth standing there, instead of being on their knees, bowing and trying to kiss His feet and do like the woman washes feet with her hair and tears. They're up there and they're going against Him because of their self-righteousness of their own religion and their keeping of the law, but they thought they were keeping the law, and it was traditional law. Because they had changed the Word of God into what fit their lifestyle. Always listen to this. The big issue in a lot of churches now is whether they should let gays in or not. I didn't know you could let anybody in the church. I thought God had to put them in there by one baptism. You can't join this church, folks. You know how you can join this church? You can become a member by being saved. There's no membership entitlement. We don't give you $50 deposit or whatever. Some people in the churches now have MasterCard units on the back of the wall there, and people can get their offering from MasterCard. Whatever. Now, think about it. They're looking at the Creator, and they can worship Him right and give Him the glory of being who He is. And while they say, we're worried your disciples aren't washing their hands. And he said, well, you're transgressing the commandment of God with your tradition. And one of the things they did is, the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. And if you don't, you're going to be killed. How about it? You're going to be killed. Those Pharisees and scribes and all the rest of them that were saying, well, it's pretty hard sometimes to honor your father and mother. I'll tell you what, we'll make it to where you can give a gift. And we won't kill you. Most people talk about Methodists and John Wesley and all those. The people in the religious churches, they don't believe what those men originally believed. Because they'd burn you at the stake. You didn't believe how they believed. Because they came from the Church of England. Well, can you imagine what you do? How quick would the police come if you burned somebody's stake out here in the front yard? What? They didn't keep up to our standards in this church. Boy, you'd be in prison quick, wouldn't you? How about we just have a stoning committee? I'll bring in a big old pile of pretty good round rock. easy throwers, you know. And when somebody in this church don't do what we think they ought to do, we're going to take them out against that building and stone the fire out of them. Reckon we'd be in jail? Yeah, oh, wait a minute. I know. We've got an altar here. We've got to offer some sacrifice. So the next thing you know, we've got a pen out here, and we're putting animals in there, lambs and goats and whatever. And Sunday, we're going to have a sacrifice. And we're going to cut the blood and put the blood on the altar and the flank and whatever else. And, you know, put it on it. You don't think the Peter will be here? Then have things gradually changed. Without using the knowledge of the Bible, they just can't stand what God had to say over here, but they believe what God says. Right? All that stuff we're talking about is under the law, folks. Under the law. We're not under the law. We're under grace. Now watch, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to do what? What did he do with the law? Then what do you think you're going to do? If he fulfilled it, look with me in Romans chapter 3. Folks, I'm just trying to understand. What does grace mean to the believer? All right, in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, as it is written. You better key in on that. As it is written, you can guarantee one thing, it's there. It is written. There is none righteous. No, not one. Also, an individual, a Gentile, he don't know what righteousness is. Well, you can take the us, right us off, and right is right, right? How many right people are there here? Look with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. If you went before God and you tried to present what you did for Him, how would you fare? Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I hear people say, I do good for the Lord. Really? And Ecclesiastes 7:20 is a lie. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Justified. What do you reckon that would mean? Just as if I'd never done any wrong. Just as if I had done nothing wrong. Could you go before God without Jesus Christ interceding for you and say, I've never done anything wrong, God? How long would you last? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Correct? Well then, read with me in Deuteronomy 6, see what he's talking about. If God gave you the law, what would he expect? That's all I know. If he gave you the law, he'd expect you to do what? What's stop sign up here mean? Why did they give you a ticket for a rolling stop? He didn't stop. He didn't squeal tires on pavement. Stomp on the brake pedal or whatever. On pedal. Listen, folks. If God gave a law, if he gave a Mosaic law, what did he expect them to do? Now, the Ten Commandments are a summation of everything that man wants to break. It's a natural thing men want to break it because of the flesh. But that's not all there is in the law, book of the law. Now watch in Deuteronomy chapter 6, look with me in verse 24. And the Lord commanded us, that is Israel. All you've got to do is go back and read it because Israel was given the law. Why? They were God's chosen people. They were taken out of Egypt and they brought into the wilderness. And he said, this is what you're going to have to do to please me. And if you don't do this, I'm going to put a curse on you. In Deuteronomy chapter 6. But you know what? When he said a blessing and a curse, God was merciful. And you know what he did? He gave a priesthood out of Levi. And he gave them sacrifices to keep him from killing them. Folks, they had the law. What did he know they were going to do? Why did men write laws in the books? What do men like to do? Why do men like to break them? I thought they were good. Fielding, do you ever speed? I heard that. You just can't. It's so hard to run 55 sometimes. That song says, I can't run 55. It's so hard when you're on smooth road and you just kind of want to crack it a little. Maybe 75, 80, maybe up around 90 just for a little while and hope nothing's around. Y'all looking around, you know, going, looking in the mirror, hoping that radar detector's working. And it just feels so good going on there. Boom, there he is. Sitting in the median, Alabama State Trooper. Moreau! Oh. I wasn't speeding, officer. Yeah, you were. Clocked you doing 85, 55 zone. Oh, it must have been my speedometer. It's off. Why would we do that? We broke the law, then we lied about it, then we tried to make excuse for the lie. Whatever. Well, Deuteronomy 6:24, God said, the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. Folks, there's something about the law in that verse. It said, for our good always. You know that God gave them the law so they stay alive. He gave them the law so that things would go right for them in the world and so that they could be witnesses to the world that God Almighty knew what He's doing. And what did they do? They broke, of course. And he said, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our what? If we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he commanded us. Well, according to Romans chapter 3, there is none what? That didn't work out. Did God know that? And then a man came in the world who kept everything that God said. He did it. And then he died for it. Folks, why do you think they wanted to kill him? You ever seen people that can't stand other people because the other people are doing right? Why would Jesus go into the synagogue or the temple and praise them for what they were doing? Why would they want to kill him then? He didn't have anything good to say about him. And folks, listen to me. There ain't nothing good to say about us except in Christ. And so they killed the Lord because they weren't righteous and they weren't doing it right. And Jesus Christ emphasized it, said, you're changing the commandments of God and keeping your tradition. And he said, you're saying, well, in accordance to the law, man was to honor his father and mother. If he don't, he's to die the death. You say that if I give a gift, I can get by with it. How do you think people think they please God today? Go into a building, sacrifice your time. Well, Lord, I came to your house to worship. I gave you my tithe. Oh, look, Lord, here's my check. It ain't much because I spent the rest of it, but it'll be my tithe. People don't understand the tithe. 10% of everything you own. Oh, that hurt, wouldn't it, on land possession and implements? I mean, if Harold had to go out and survey everything on and gave 10% of that today, that hurt. Because might own some of it. I don't know. The value of it. Some guys on TV one time, there were two of them sitting there, preachers. This one guy said, he said, I feel the Spirit of the Lord moving. I'm going to write 10% of everything I owe. His wife was back there going, you idiot. I bet that check got canceled after the service. Wow. Now watch. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3 and compare it again. You see, folks, I love grace. And I love the apostle that gave it. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned. I wonder what sin is about. Hold your finger just a second. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John. And let's see what it says here. 1 John chapter 3. Now remember, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, sinned is the reaction of nature. What are you born in? Sins is the productivity of sinning, or sinned. Okay? What? The devil made me do it. You know what people say in that flip book? The devil made me do it! The devil made me do it! No, the flesh made me do it. Okay? 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. Now, the reason he put that word also in there is because there is an issue about sin in 1 John in the last time, which is blasphemy. Okay? But watch what it says also. For whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is what? Okay? Romans chapter 2. I apologize. Romans chapter 4. Now, Harold said if God gave you a law, it'd be a good idea to keep it. Right? Okay, if a man had the law, it'd be a good idea to keep it. Then I go to Romans chapter 4. Look with me in verse 15. Because the law worketh what? Wrath. Romans chapter 5 gives me a great feeling. I've got that old feeling. Romans chapter 5 verse 9. Much more than being now justified by what? Not the blood of an animal. How did they get justification in the Old Testament under the law? Blood of an animal would cover it, right? It wouldn't take it away. It'd cover it. But now, look at this in verse 9, but now, much more than being now justified, how? By His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Through Him? Through Him. Great news. For where there's no law, there's no transgression. Okay? Turn with me to Romans 8. Just a couple other things, and you can go eat your chicken. I'm telling you, it's the first of the month, a booger to preach. Is everybody smelling that food? In Romans chapter 8, let's see what verse 33 says. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Can Billy Graham lay anything to your charge? How about that preacher downtown? Hello, Brother Jerry. He laid anything to your charge. Then why would I stand up here and talk about your sins? Why would I try to convict you of what you did this week? What would give me the right to say you're the worst sinner I know? No, I'm the worst sinner you know. Folks, listen to what the verse says. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can mess with God's elect? Look at the end of the verse. What does it say? Then who's the justifier? God is. Why? There ain't nobody else can justify. I trust God. God knew how to justify me. I didn't know how. I walked the aisle for Jesus when I was about, I guess, 13 years old and joined that church and was a member of that church, I guess. Never understood anything about the Bible. I did what every person in there had done at one time in their life. They walked the aisle, got baptized, joined the church. I was a member of that church. He was asking me to say, yes, I'm a member of the Baptist Church of Gasville. I said, well, what do you know about Jesus? Well, I mean, Easter and Christmas. Pretty sure on Christmas he was born of a virgin. Pretty sure on Easter he rose. Didn't care if he died on Thursday and rose on Sunday morning, the third day. I don't see how that figures out, but people say it did. On Friday, Good Friday, whatever. I was told a lot of Catholic stuff, see. I ate meat on Friday. Yeah, I ate fish in school, in Spanish Rise. Good day to go crappie fishing, skip school. I was told I had to do this because some religious order in America had enough power that all schools had to observe this. But I never knew anything about Abraham. I never knew anything about Paul. I never knew anything about Jesus except that virgin-born Son of God came in the world and died, the Lamb of God, died for the sins of the world. And so I agreed with that. But I didn't trust that to be my salvation. I thought you had to do something else. I cut my ponytail off, my beard, quit drinking. And I knew God was pleased with me. But I kept sinning. Couldn't figure that out. And then somebody came to me one day and said, did you know that God has already forgiven you? I said, what? Yeah, you're already forgiven. Jesus Christ already died for your sins. He buried and rose again on the third day and you're justified. God delivered him up for your offenses and raised him again for your justification. Really? Well, that sounds good to me. I still didn't get saved. I went and I said, boy, I want to get in the ministry. Help somebody out to promote that. I want to work for Brother Moore. My God, you can't work for Brother Moore being lost. I was. And then one night, the verses came to home, man. It was just like, poof, why am I struggling with this? Why am I concerned that I'm afraid that God may kill me for doing something wrong? I am forgiven, Lord. You said it, and I believe you. Boop! I am forgiven. Praise God! And the verses that I memorized that I didn't know what they meant came home. And God told me, you're going to Selma. I'm just kidding. He didn't tell me that. So I said, what does it sound like? Jerry! You're going to Selma. What? Where did you say? Selma. Robin said, no, Daddy, we ain't going to Selma. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Romans 8:31, 34:3. Who shall lay anything to charge God's elect as God to justify? What about it? What about that? What do you think? Tell me about it. Anybody lay anything to your charge? That's between you and God. What do you think about it? Well, my God, somebody's going to accuse me somewhere. Is it that God's going to bring up a witness up there at the judgment seat of Christ and say, hey, God, you didn't know about this one. Let me tell you about this one. Let me tell you, I went to school with this guy. I know him. There ain't no way you are to entitle him into the gift of life. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Somebody said, well, what gives you the right to think you have life? I got a verse. In Romans chapter 5, verse 17, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. What did Adam give us? Now, how'd you get that? No, when you come out of that birth canal, guess what your destiny is? Okay, so somewhere in your life, you can clean that up? You can stop that by getting better than the birth canal? So Adam gave me an inheritance, and it ain't good. He said, much more they which receive abundance of, here's the word, grace and the gift of what? Oh, my God, folks, there ain't no righteous in this room. And God said, you can have mine. You can have my righteousness. And when I look at you and you got my righteousness, you are a welcome sight into heaven. I will let you come into my presence with my gift upon you. And I'll never question what you were. Because Jesus made you holy and without blame before Him in love. Verse 17, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteous one, how righteous was Jesus Christ? Pure. Pure righteousness. The free gift came upon all men unto what? Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for justifying me unto life. I didn't deserve it. I ought not have it. But my Lord and Savior made provision for it. And I accept it, Lord. Your free gift will never be earned and will never be conceited about or bragged about. All I can do is glory. Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, and He rose again the third day. And God is satisfied totally and completely. And I'm satisfied that He's satisfied. And I look for a day when I can leave this vile body or have it changed and be in the presence of God because of the mercy of God Almighty. What a day to leave this earth and be with Him. Amen. I appreciate you being here.